with leaders and activists from all over the world gathered in Paris this week to talk big picture solutions for climate change, we wanted to talk right now about the little picture, the things we as individuals can do to help slow climate change. Tony Leiserwitz is director of the Yale Project on Climate Change Communication. He's with us from New Haven. And Tony, is there anything that we can do individually to really make a difference?
Absolutely. So we know that about 38% of all U.S. emissions come from the direct actions of people in their own households. And so we are certainly part of that because, of course, we use energy both at home and in terms of our consumer behavior. So there are lots of places where our own individual actions can make a real difference.
Well, let's talk about some of the things that individuals already do to try to make a difference, starting with recycling. How much of a difference does that really make?
So recycling certainly is part of the solution. You know, for everything that you recycle, it means that you're not having to buy yet a new thing. And of course, every new thing has to be, the raw materials have to be gathered, it has to be manufactured, it has to be transported, it has to be sold, and it will have its own lifetime and ultimately, of course, need to be disposed of. Each of those steps in that life cycle of any product involve carbon emissions in most cases. And so anytime you can reuse something or recycle something, you are actually making a significant contribution.
Although there has been some skepticism recently, and we've talked about it on this show, about how much of a difference recycling actually makes.
That's a very complicated question because it really comes down to the details of what specific things are you talking about. So, for example, in the case of glass is actually very recyclable, it's economic, and so on. Cardboard is another great example of something that is very easily recyclable. And in fact, I think the recyclable rates by the cardboard industry are very high, like well over 80%. So there are certain products that are just far easier to do. Other kinds of things are not as easy to recycle, and in part, that's because of the way that they're built. So a classic example is electronic waste. A lot of our components, our phones, our computers, our televisions, haven't been built in a way that make them easy to take apart and then reuse some of those same things. So that can, in fact, lead to all kinds of downstream environmental impacts. But overall, recycling is certainly one way that you can help.
What about turning off the lights when you leave the room? I'm noticing now when I go to more modern buildings that they have sensors, that the lights actually turn off by themselves. Is that the right direction to be going in? Does that make a really big difference?
It really does. Lighting is one of the major components of our energy use, of course. And importantly, what is generating that light is crucial. So for those people that still have incandescent light bulbs, you're throwing money and energy literally out the window. They're very inefficient, and that's why we've seen CFLs and now in particular LED lights really storm into the marketplace because people are finding that they're getting the same benefit, the same quality of light, but at a far, far cheaper price in terms of the actual energy used.
Although there are also people who will complain about CFLs being not the most environmentally friendly thing you can do.
Right. And so that's why really I think the future is LEDs. Far more energy efficient even so, and actually far more control over the light itself. So you can have much greater control over exactly what kind of light you would like. So I think that's really where the market is heading. But I want to actually come back to your point. There are now motion sensors in many of these buildings. And that's a big deal too, because let's face it, it's not easy to remember to be environmentally conscious every moment of every day.
Right.
And so when you can build in automatic systems like a room that can sense when someone is there and when someone isn't there and then turn on the light or turn it off or turn on the heat or turn it down based on that, it just automates it in a way that it doesn't force us to have to remember every single time we do it.
What about saving water? How important is that? Taking shorter showers, even if we don't live in California in the middle of a big drought, does that make a difference? Should people be doing that?
It can make a difference because remember, assuming that you like to take hot showers, that water has to be heated and that takes energy. So, you know, certainly I'm not encouraging people to go out and just take, freezing cold showers or anything like that. You can be comfortable. On the other hand, you don't have to waste a lot of hot water because, again, you're paying for it.
I was surprised to read this week that sometimes your cell phone, your smartphone, can actually use more energy than a refrigerator. Should we be worried about plugging in our devices, about just the electronics that we use on a daily basis?
Certainly, we need to think about how our electronics use energy. So there's this well-known phenomenon called phantom electricity, which is basically when you plug in most electronics, televisions, computers, phones, and so on, they continue to draw almost as much energy as they do when they're actually on. And so that's just completely wasted. Nobody's using them, and yet they're still drawing a lot of electricity. So that's actually another way that the electronics industry is actually changing, is that they're beginning to develop new versions of computers and so on that don't do that.
What about our vehicles, people that drive around? Is there anything that can be done to, short of going out and buying an electric car, which can be expensive, is there anything that can be done to try to do something good for the planet while you're still getting from here to there?
So buying a more fuel-efficient car, and it doesn't have to be an electric car, it could just simply be a more fuel-efficient gas car, is actually one of the single most effective things that anybody can do. So, you know, going from a, say, 20-mile-per-gallon car to a 30-mile-per-gallon car, that makes a huge difference. You don't have to necessarily go out and buy an electric car, though that, too, is just now beginning to really enter the market. Secondly, of course, is trying to drive less. And that raises all kinds of questions. I mean, that can be things like carpooling or using public transportation when possible, even simple things like making sure you're combining trips. You know, rather than taking a separate trip to drop your kids off at school and then another trip to go shopping, combine the two and you're saving mileage and gasoline.
I see that another thing that people can do is to cut down on meat consumption, which may be very difficult for some people to do. But is that, does that make enough of a difference to make it worth it?
It does. And of course, there are a whole host of reasons for many people to begin thinking about trying to just draw back a little bit on meat consumption. But I mean, look, raising a pound of beef is incredibly energy intensive. It takes a lot of grain. It takes a lot of energy. It takes a lot of water to create a single steak, as an example. So even eating meat just once less a week can actually make a significant difference in the impact of one's diet. The other thing that one should also keep in mind is food waste. In the United States, we throw out about 40% of our food. Okay? And that food is, of course, you know, there were enormous resources put into growing that food in the first place. And then when we throw it away, it usually goes to the landfill where it gets converted by bacteria into methane, which happens to be a very potent heat-trapping gas that gets up in the atmosphere and contributes to global warming.
Is there anything we left out that we didn't mention that people should be doing if they want to make a difference?
So one of the most important things that people can do if you're a homeowner is to insulate your home. Okay. Now, you don't get a lot of social credit for that because nobody looks at your insulation. It's not like pretty solar panels on your roof or a, you know, fancy car in your driveway. But it's one of the most important things that you can do because most homes in America leak energy like a sieve. And again, that's just energy that's and money that's literally being thrown out the window and out the roof. So one of the most important things that anybody can do is to make sure that your house is as energy efficient as possible.
What would you say to somebody who's listening to you list off all of these things and saying, well, why should I do this when my neighbor is driving around a gas guzzler, isn't unplugging his appliances when he's not using them, isn't taking shorter showers, is eating meat as much as he wants?
So this is part of a transition, okay? And so what you're talking about there is what we call in psychology social norms, is that you're changing what's acceptable, and those norms do change over time. So let me give you a great example, and that's smoking. When I grew up, smoking was everywhere. It was in all public places. It was on film, on television. It was cool. It was glamorous. That has completely changed in America, where now smoking is banned from most public places, where smokers feel often ostracized and actually feel guilty about what they're doing. So that is an example of a social norm that has completely flipped in this country. Littering was another one that went through a major change, where littering used to be much, much more common in this country than it is today. So these are all parts of transitioning as a culture, as a society, towards a more sustainable way of living.
That's Tony Leiserwitz, who is the director of the Yale Program on Climate Change Communication, talking about some of the things that you can do if you want to make a difference as we deal with this issue of climate change. Tony Leiserwitz, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.